My pleasure to call your attention to a new psalm for the psalm of the month, Psalm 83. Psalm 83, I'll read this. And I did not change, I think I put the right page there, Psalm 677, I hope. So you can find that in your Bibles in your seats. Psalm 83. Listen to God's word. A song, a psalm of Asaph. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also, too, has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. O my God, make them like a whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Psalm 83 is an urgent cry for help from God. In its Old Testament context, the author Asaph names many real-life nations that had formed a united axis of evil to stand against the Old Testament nation of Israel. It's like a who's who list of the enemies of Israel. They appear throughout the pages, and you might recognize some of the names: Edom, Moab, Gebel, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, Tyre, Assyria, the Ishmaelites, the Hagarites. 10 different nation groups. And they have all come together for one combined purpose: to cut off Israel completely, to wipe them off the face of the earth. They did so openly through invasion and warfare, and they did so secretly, devising ways to fight against the people of God and against his people, against God and against his people. It was a very dangerous situation for Israel. These different people groups had at different times worked independently, but their confederacy was an added danger to the people of Israel. And this helps you understand then the urgency of the prayer that is given here. The enemy is real. He seeks to wipe out God and his people. So how does this psalm teach us? How does it teach us to live in light of the real trials that the people of God today face? Well, it teaches us to pray. Let me point out ways that the psalmist prays to the Lord, that we join in when we sing this psalm. We pray that God would rise up against the enemy, that God himself would give answer. Listen to verse 1 again. Do not be silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God. We ask the Lord to notice and to act for his own name's sake. After listing all those people groups and the work against them, starting in verse 9, there is then other prayers that we are led to pray. Verses 9 through 12. Pray, deal with them as you have dealt with enemies in the past. There's another list of names, and you can go back and read about these. Follow some of the footnotes, and you'll read about what God did to Midian, to Sisera, to Jabin, and so on. A list of enemies from A to Z, and you might say, all that fell under God's judgment. We could take comfort and direction to pray that the Lord would deal with enemies today, even as he has in history. Verses 13 through 15, pray that they would be blown away like the dust in the wind, burned up like the dry woods in a wildfire, wrecked like a ship tossed by the tempest at sea. Very poetic words to describe that there is no one who can stand against an omnipotent and almighty God. Verses 16 through 17, pray that they would be put to shame and perish, confounded and dismayed forever. This has two applications that we can pray. One is that they would be defeated, that enemies of God would be cast down and destroyed. Or, as you see in verse 16 and verse 18, that they would be converted, that they would come to seek your name. The enemies of God converted and brought to be humble in front of an almighty God. As you can tell, this was a very dangerous situation for Old Testament Israel. But God also gave this psalm to the people that belonged to him in every age. The truth is that the enemies of God have always been hostile to him, and they have always been hostile to his people. From the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden until Jesus comes again, there is enmity between God and Satan, between the people of God, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent, the people of Satan. There's always been that enmity. And as God pronounced judgment, even in the Garden of Eden, he pronounces that judgment today. You can apply this to yourself personally, to the besetting sins that are temptations that come from the evil one. You can pray, Lord, deliver us from temptation, deliver us from the evil one. But this psalm emphasizes a bigger picture. We can apply this to institutional evil. You hear in this psalm nations and people groups that have aligned themselves against Jesus Christ and his people. So we can pray against institutional evil, like organized anti-Christian worldviews that seek to silence the church and the people of God. We pray against false religions and even against nations that align themselves against Jesus Christ. One last application. God also gave this psalm to prefigure Jesus Christ. When the enemies conspired against God's people in this psalm, it says they covenanted to cut off the nation and to make it so that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. I like the way that the commentator Ash describes this. In biblical theology, this leads us to Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of Israel. The hostility towards Israel reached its climax in enmity towards Christ. It reached its climax in enmity in Christ. He was surrounded by enemies. As we learn then and we read in the Gospels in the New Testament, it records how they reviled Jesus Christ. They hurled insults at him. They plotted to destroy him, and they were even successful in arresting him and falsely trying him and condemning him to death and hanging him on a cross, thinking that they had had victory over Jesus. But we know that in his death, Jesus defeated the serpent. He defeated death. He arose. He was not silent. He answered the enemy and crushed Satan's head on the cross. And he defeated death and the one who holds the power of death, as Hebrews 2 says. He delivered God's children. He delivered us from the kingdom of Satan once and for all. So as we sing this month, we'll be praying against God's enemies, that they would be thrown down by the Lord, either in their destruction or in their conversion. Let's do so now. Turn to Psalm 83. I invite you to please stand to sing.